from Jakarta. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in English program. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Bank Indonesia Governor Perry Warjio hopes foreign investment flows to Indonesia. Indonesia and the Netherlands agree to increase cooperation in various sectors. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Governor of Bank Indonesia Perry Warjio hopes foreign investors would buy Indonesian state securities SBN to increase US dollar supply in the country and help stabilize rupiah. He said after a meeting at Indonesian Finance Ministry Jakarta on Tuesday that foreign investors begin to enter and that will help stabilize exchange rate with the auction of SBN. The meeting also attended by Chief Commissioner of the Financial Service Authority, OJK, Wimbo Santoso, discussed the prevailing economic issues such as economic growth and stability. Commenting on the sinking rupiah, Warjio pledged that the central bank would continue to stay in the market to take necessary steps to stabilize rupiah. The central bank would intervene in the market, including buying SBN in the secondary market. He said the central bank has raised its benchmark interest rate to lure in foreign investors to the Indonesian financial market, especially the state bond market. He said while waiting for large foreign investment to enter the Indonesian financial market, intervention by Bank Indonesia will continue. Warjio also noted that Bank Indonesia will also continue to strengthen coordination with the government and OJK to cope with rupiah instability in short term and to boost growth. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with Dutch Foreign Minister Stephanus Abraham Blok at Pancasila Building, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday. In this meeting, the two foreign ministers agreed to increase cooperation between the two countries in various fields. In a joint press statement with Foreign Minister Blok, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia and the Netherlands have agreed on cooperation in the field of timber trade through European Union Forest Law Enforcement, Governance and Trade, FLAGT, mechanisms and security, including drug trafficking, terrorism, and cybersecurity.
I also mentioned our willingness to work together in enhancing the implementation of FLAGT license to improve market access for the Indonesian legal timber. We also discussed efforts to strengthen security cooperation. I specifically mentioned the need to strengthen cooperation to combat drug trafficking. We discuss also about cooperation to combat terrorism. Indonesia will not allow its country to be a market for drug traffickers. I welcome, of course, the signing of cooperation of cybersecurity.
Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi further explained that Indonesia and the Netherlands in 2018 have entered the fifth year of the Joint Declaration on Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, SEPA. It certainly can be a momentum to enhance economic cooperation between the two countries. Currently, Indonesia is the second largest trading partner in the European region for Indonesia. The value of bilateral trade between Indonesia and the Netherlands in 2017 recorded reached $5 billion, which supported by palm oil as the largest export commodity. The government of Indonesia, through the state cyber and codes agency BSSN, has signed a letter of intent in the field of cyber cooperation with the Dutch government. The signing was done by BSSN Chairman Joko Setiadi and Prime Minister of the Netherlands Stephanus Abraham Blok on Tuesday at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta. In a press statement with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Foreign Minister Blok said that cybersecurity cooperation between Indonesia and the Netherlands is a media to enhance capability and exchange experiences between the two countries.
Today, we also signed a letter of intent with Indonesia about cybersecurity. We agreed to launch a bilateral cyber dialogue to discuss ways of enhancing capability, to share experiences about cyber legislation and protecting vital cyber infrastructure.
The cybersecurity cooperation between Indonesia and the Netherlands is an important requirement for dealing various challenges in the digital era. The cooperation is equivalent to provide benefits for both countries. In this case, Indonesia not only received one-way assistance from the Dutch government. Indonesia has the opportunity to convey what Indonesia has in the field of cybersecurity as a tool in developing human resources capacity in the field of cybersecurity in both countries. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with the Dutch Foreign Minister Stephanus Abraham Blok at Pancasila Building, Indonesia Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta on Tuesday. After the meeting, Retno Marsudi said that she had asked the Netherlands, as one of the European Union member states, to have Indonesia face discrimination against palm oil product, which becomes one of its main export commodities.
One of the largest components of Indonesia export to the Netherlands is palm oil. Therefore, I raised the issue of discrimination against palm oil to the attention of Minister Blok. We have read the approved draft of the trilogue and remain very concerned of its high potential risk of discrimination. The draft stipulates that it will use the indirect land use chains, or ILUC, as criteria, which reflect a more European view rather than an internationally accepted.
Foreign Minister Marsudi further said the government of Indonesia will continue negotiations with the European Union to resolve one of the region's largest trade agreements, the Indonesian-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, CEPA, although disputes between the two are related to palm oil still continue. She stressed that the negotiations to be taken should take into account the interests of both countries, including Indonesia's interest in palm oil trade. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Dutch Foreign Minister Stephanus Abraham Blok said that Indonesia has an emotional closeness which becomes the key to the close relationship between the two countries. The close relationship can be seen in the field of education, in which until now some Indonesian students choose Netherlands as the country to continue their studies. Therefore, the Dutch government plans to extend the scholarship program provided to students from Indonesia until the 2025.
Indonesia is a key partner, not only for my country, but also for the Dutch people individually. Many Dutch people have a connection to Indonesia, and my family also has roots here in Indonesia. These people-to-people ties are clearly visible in the field of education. Each year, around 1,500 Indonesians come to study in the Netherlands, and they are very welcome. Since the 1950s, over 20,000 Indonesians have studied in the Netherlands. These individual contacts form a solid foundation. And in this spirit, I'm pleased to announce that we will be extending the Student Dutch Scholarship Program for Indonesian students with 2 years until 2021.
One of the scholarships provided by the Dutch government to students from Indonesia is through StudNet Institution. In addition to the master scholarship, StudNet also provides scholarships for short courses in short capacity development and tailor-made training. Priority areas of this scholarship include international trade, finance and economics, transportation, agro-logistics and infrastructure, security and law enforcement, water, agri-food and horticulture, and also health management. Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, in cooperation with National Development Ministry and Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education and other related ministries as well as institutes, held the 11th National Widya Karya of Food and Nutrition in Jakarta on July 3-4. It is a forum of multi-stakeholders of academicians, government, industries and people to recommend the target of policy for food and nutrition in Indonesia. Head of LIPI, Laksana Trihandoko, at the agenda said, "Stunting and malnutrition as national problems that need to be overcome by inter-stakeholders." He further explained the intervention of prevention through governmental policy is important so that the problems can have appropriate solution.
WNPK kali ini memiliki dua target utama.
Widya Karya of Food and Nutrition has two main targets. Firstly, to formulate the policy strategy of inter-sectors related to food and nutrition as input for national midterm development planning in 2020-2024, which is being discussed by National Development Ministry, including nutrition standard. Secondly, to formulate various research teams to answer the problem related to stunting as inputs for national priority research in 2020-2024. Meanwhile, Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir explained, "National Widya Karya of Food and Nutrition must be a direction in developing food and nutrition research in the future so that output research can have direct impact to the quality improvement of human resources." He said to increase the capability of science and technology and innovation in supporting food and nutrition sectors, it needs long time, hard working, consistency, and cooperation of inter-stakeholders. Indonesian trade mission to Morocco under the Trade Ministry Program, which show off domestic flagship product, has managed to reach potential deals of $10.96 million or 153.5 billion rupiahs. Director General of National Export Development at Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Arlinda, said that the Indonesian Trade Mission to Morocco, which was held by Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita, brought 35 business players from 18 companies engaged in various sectors. Arlinda noted in a recent written statement received by Antara News Agency that the transaction is obtained through one-on-one business matching. The transaction will continue to grow in line with the number of trade agreements which are still in the process of negotiation. The transaction records do not include the potential transactions of PT Pindad or the Indonesian state-owned enterprises specializing in military and commercial products with Anoa and Komodo Panzers as well as ammunition. Previously, the Indonesian trade mission to Tunisia had recorded a potential transaction of $2.74 million or approximately 37.80 billion rupiahs. Thus, the total potential transactions recorded on the trade mission to Tunisia and Morocco is $13.70 million or approximately 191.30 billion rupiahs. Similar to Tunisia, Morocco can be a hub for Indonesian trade to Africa and Europe. Indonesia, on the other hand, can also be used by other countries to become a hub for Moroccan trade to ASEAN countries. Indonesia's total trade value with Africa in 2017 reached $8.85 billion. Well, listener, that was the news.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia
for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling, Will the second meeting of the United States and North Korea be implemented immediately? The first is not the last. This is not the title of a song, but the rhetoric that accompanies the historic meeting of Donald Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un in Singapore on June 12th. U.S. President Donald Trump has stated that the two sides will often meet after the summit in Singapore. Yesterday, from Washington, came the news that Trump and Kim will realize the next meeting in the future. An unofficial statement in Washington said that the meeting would be held in New York in accordance with the schedule with the United Nations General Assembly. From Pyongyang itself, there has been no news or concern about the issue. Ahead of the summit in Singapore, both Washington and Pyongyang were involved in a diplomatic war. Trump said he still had to consider the planned meeting with Jong-un in Singapore. From Pyongyang also came out a similar statement. But eventually, the two leaders held their first historical meeting since the outbreak of the Korean War, and even agreed on four important things. Trump said the meeting was a success because it had a profound impact and both countries would form a new relationship pattern. They agreed to work together to build lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula. Then, there is a commitment from North Korea to work together to realize denuclearization. And the last, U.S. and North Korea commit to recovering POW/MIA remains, including the immediate repatriation of those already identified. Of the agreement, the problem of denuclearization for the United States is the most important issue that must be realized. The United States and its allies view this issue as the most crucial and strategic one. Washington is waiting for a real commitment from Pyongyang. In this context, the news that the United States will hold the second summit can be seen as a Washington reminder to Pyongyang. So, whether or not the second meeting in New York on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly will materialize depends heavily on North Korea's response to denuclearization commitment. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start with the establishment of Indonesian National Unity on July 4, 1927. The Indonesian National Unity (BNI) was officially inaugurated in Bandung, West Java on July 4, 1927 by the national figures Cipto Mangunkusumo Sartono, Iskak Cokro Hadisuryo, and Sunaryo. In addition, the students who included in Algemene Study Club chaired by Sukarno also participated in the association. In May 1928, the Indonesian National Unity moreover said that their political struggle for changing the name into the Indonesian National Party. With the establishment of the Indonesian National Party can be considered as one of important milestone of Indonesian's history. Precisely, BNI became one of the renowned parties in the political history of Indonesia. BNI leadership began to waver when Sukarno, Gatot Mangku Projo, and Maskun Sumadiraja were arrested in late 1929 and early 1930. Sartono's leadership failed to make the BNI stable, and eventually the BNI was dissolved in 1931. We now turn to an event of the Philippines gain independence from the United States on July 4, 1946. The first European nation to come to the Philippine Islands were a group of Spanish sailors led by Ferdinand Magellan in 1521. Beginning from that time, the Philippines became a Spanish colony until three centuries later. The increasing resistance of the Philippine people made the Spanish power weaker. At the same time, Spain also lost the war from the United States. The people of the Philippines then continued their struggle to expel U.S. troops from their homeland. Finally, on July 4, 1946, the Filipinos succeeded in achieving their independence from the U.S. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event of West Germany achieves the first champion in the FIFA World Cup 1954. The glory of West Germany was started from the World Cup 1954 at Wangdorf Stadium, Bern, Switzerland. West Germany became the champion, defeated Hungary with a score of 3-2. Germany was not too accounted team at the previous editions of World Cup in 1930, 1934, 1938, and 1950. The most excellent record was in the World Cup 1934 when they became semi-finalist team. However, in 1954, when Germany has been divided into West Germany and East Germany, the glory of West Germany began. The World Cup 1954 was the first milestone of greatness of West Germany in the soccer title. Since at that time, West Germany is always calculated in every World Cup event. Listener, that was today's segment of Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to today's segment of My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about the World Bank approves loans to increase Indonesian maritime logistics. The World Bank Executive Board approved a new $300 million loan that will support the Indonesian government to make reformation to reduce costs while enhancing the reliability of maritime logistics. The World Bank Country Director for Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Rodrigo Chavez, in a statement about the loan in Jakarta Saturday said that efficient maritime logistics is important for the growth in manufacturing, agriculture, and services. Rodrigo Chavez added that a better logistics system would improve competitiveness and help reduce poverty, as it could reduce the prices of goods and services in remote areas, especially in eastern Indonesia. Rodrigo Chavez added that a better logistics system would improve competitiveness and help to reduce poverty, as it could reduce the prices of goods and services in remote areas, especially in the eastern Indonesia. The loan is part of the second Indonesia Logistics Reform Development Policy Loan, or DPL, made under the reforms through the first DPL Logistics, which was approved in November 2016 to overcome barriers in the movement of goods within and outside the Indonesian border. Rodrigo Chavez said that inefficient port operations, uncompetitive logistics service markets, and long trading procedures have hampered Indonesia's competitiveness. In addition, ports are also often considered to be a barrier point in Indonesia's logistics chain due to limited infrastructure, minimal regulation, and low productivity. These barriers contributed to higher logistics costs for Indonesia's manufacturing sector. Similar obstacles play a role in Indonesia's lower logistics performance compared to countries in the region, as measured in the World Bank's Logistics Performance Index. Meanwhile, World Bank senior economist Massimiliano Cali added that the project could help Indonesia. The main focus of the project is to strengthen port governance and operations, foster a competitive business environment for logistics service providers, and make trading processes more efficient and transparent. The reformation supported by the first logistics development policy loan have brought benefits to Indonesia, as it has accelerated several new port projects with greater private sector participation. The project has also increased the inclusion of operators in the logistics market and reduced the time and cost of the trading process. The DPL program is also assisted by additional loans for the German government through the German Bank for Development and the French government through the Agence Development. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Governor of Bank Indonesia Perry Warjio hopes foreign investors would buy Indonesian state securities SPN to increase U.S. dollar supply in the country and help stabilize rupiah. Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with Dutch Foreign Minister Stepanus Abraham Blok at Pancasila Building, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta. In this meeting, the two foreign ministers agreed to increase cooperation between the two countries in various fields. The government of Indonesia, through the State Cyber and Codes Agency (BSSN), has signed a letter of intent in the field of cyber cooperation with the Dutch government. The signing was done by BSSN Chairman Joko Setiadi and Foreign Minister of the Netherlands Stepanus Abraham Blok on Tuesday. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with the Dutch Foreign Minister Stepanus Abraham Blok at Pancasila Building in Jakarta on Tuesday. After the meeting, Retno Marsudi said that she had asked the Netherlands, as one of European Union member states, to help Indonesia face discrimination against palm oil product, which becomes one of its main export commodities. Dutch Foreign Minister Stephanus Abraham Blok said that Indonesia has an emotional closeness which becomes the key to the close relationship between the two countries. The close relationship can be seen in the field of education, in which until now some Indonesian students choose Netherlands as the country to continue their studies. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with Dutch Foreign Minister Stephanus Abraham Blok and discussed related shipwreck research that become one of the topics of the two top officials. It is known there are a number of shipwrecks which owned by the Dutch in Indonesian waters, especially in the Java Sea. Indonesian Institute of Sciences Levy, in cooperation with National Development Ministry and Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education, and other related ministries as well as institutes, held the 11th National Widya Karya of Food and Nutrition in Jakarta on July the 3rd to the 4th. It is a forum of multi-stakeholders, of academicians, government, industries, and people to recommend the target of policy for food and nutrition in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave, and why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism destinations from West Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, fascination of tourism objects in Bandung, West Java never stops to give surprise to tourists. Bandung, as if giving innovation attracts domestic or foreign tourists. In today's edition, Voice of Indonesia will discuss one of tourism destinations in Bandung, which has natural nuance and can be enjoyed along with the family. The tourism object is Batu Malakasari Hamlet. This tourism destination is located on Jalan Raya Banjaran Rencong,
Malakasari, Bale Endah. Listeners, earlier, Batu Malakasari Hamlet was stoned mining area. The condition of its location was poor after being neglected for several years. But someday, there was an investor, Insinyur Haji Waryo, who came and built Batu Malakasari Hamlet as tourism destination. Several months later, the dry location, which was neglected, becomes interesting tourism destination. In addition to relying on its natural fascination, which is beautiful and exotic, tourists who visit will be also spoiled with various educational rides. Listeners, Batu Malakasari Hamlet looks like natural laboratory because at the place, tourists can try various kinds of interesting activities. The activities which can be conducted here are related to nature and life creature surrounding areas, such as interacting with animals like cows, sheep, rabbits, and goats at animal husbandry. Here, you can also see spotted deer at the breeding, learn about agriculture and local art at the studio and Sundanese traditional house. Besides, other interesting activities are outbound, flying fox and going down Batok Hill, which make you closer with the nature. Listeners, many people say that Batu Malakasari Hamlet is one of completed tourism destinations in Bandung because it has many facilities. Therefore, the place is suitable to become alternative to spend holidays along with the family, especially for them who love nature. Batu Malakasari Hamlet opens every day, starting from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. On weekends and holidays, this tourism object opens 30 minutes earlier and closes 1 hour longer than weekdays. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and encourages you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Ibu Rumah Tangga, or in English, housewife, stagent. Now, I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, ibu rumah tangga, or in English, housewife. I'll say each word slowly, and twice you can follow after me. Ini foto keluarga Joko. Ini foto keluarga Joko. In English, this is Joko's family photo, or this is Joko's family picture. Mereka berfoto sesuai dengan profesi mereka. Mereka berfoto sesuai dengan profesi mereka. In English, they made pictures in accordance with their profession. Ayah Joko seorang polisi. Ayah Joko seorang polisi. In English, Joko's father is a policeman. Pamannya tentara. Istri pamannya PNS. Dan kakaknya dokter. Pamannya tentara. Istri pamannya PNS. Dan kakaknya dokter. In English, Joko's uncle is an army. His uncle's wife is a civil servant. And his brother is a doctor. Apa pekerjaan ibunya? Apa pekerjaan ibunya? In English, what is his mother doing? Dia ibu rumah tangga. Dia ibu rumah tangga. In English, she is a housewife. Listener to ask about someone's job, you can say apa pekerjaan Anda. Other expression, apa profesi Anda? Anda bekerja sebagai apa? While to know where is someone's work, as usual, you can use the word di mana. Di mana dia bekerja? For example, Dinda, kakakmu bekerja di mana? Tony, dia bekerja di kedutaan besar Inggris di Jepang. Dinda, dia bekerja sebagai apa? Tony, diplomat. In the dialogue, you will listen a sentence, dia ibu rumah tangga. Housewife is not a profession but rather a term to a married woman who is not working. The term is especially for women. Listener, the exercise is to describe your family. For example, saya mempunyai satu orang kakak perempuan dan satu orang kakak laki-laki. Kakak perempuan saya berkacamata. Kakak laki-laki saya berkumis. Kakak perempuan saya mempunyai seorang anak perempuan. Ia suka memakai baju merah. Anak kakak laki-laki saya dua orang. Mereka semua memakai kacamata. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer
along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id. Before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some beautiful songs from Mondo Gascaro. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Dan Bila by Mondo Gascaro. Happy listening. That was the song Dan Bila by Mondo Gascaro. The song with a very poetic lyrics describes Jakarta and its people's daily life. Life in the capital is full of intrigue, so that complaints seems going on continuously. However, at the end of the day, all frenzy of the capital city can be forgotten. Mondo Gascaro, the singer and songwriter of the song Dan Bila that we've just listened to, has long been active in the Indonesian entertainment world. Besides being a former member of the Sore Band or Soloist, Mondo has created background music for famous Indonesian films such as Berbagi Suami in 2006, Quickie Express in 2007, The Forbidden Door in 2008, and many more. In addition, Mondo Gascaro also has its own music label. In that label, Mondo and his wife have producing various artists and bands such as Payung Teduh. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Butiran Angin by Mondo Gascaro.
Kita akan pergi.
The lyrics of the song Butiran Angin, which is still really poetic as Mondogascaro style, tells about someone who enjoyed the day with his or her lover. In the song, Mondogascaro put a little bit of Sanshin music instrument from Okinawa, Japan. In addition to Indonesia, Japanese blood is flowing in Mondogascaro. However, his musicality since childhood originated from Japanese art, such as puppet shows and the song Bengawan Solo. Then, Mondogascaro also chose a simple style of retro pop music after listening to the works of the Beatles and famous Indonesian composer Ismail Marzuki. Listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled April and Naked. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
April di batas hujan dan kemarau silam. Angin sampaikan mimpiku padanya. Semusim kala bersemi, tiada ragu kan ku melagu. Alam resah
mendengar. Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.